Hello there. Welcome into the show. My name is Dan Hafner. Welcome back to episode number two. What is the deal with no code? So I got quite a show for you today. Quite a trip. We're going to talk a lot about this topic. This is kind of my jam. So I apologize in advance if this is a little too in-depth, a little too enthusiastic. I don't think there's such a thing as being too enthusiastic about something. But we might get there. Who knows? So it is nearing the end of 2023, my friends. It is currently October at the time I'm recording this episode. Q4 is upon us, and it is going to be 2024 before you know it. We got Black Friday coming up. We got the holidays coming up. It's a lot. There's a lot going on at the end of the year. But what if I told you that starting in January 2024, you could have a brand new, up and running, smoothly processing, monetizable business application up and running, ready to scale into 2024. Like, you could actually have an entirely new business in the next, 90 to 100 days of the year, and it would actually be monetized, ready to go. That kind of thing is actually possible with the stuff that I'm going to talk to you about today, okay? And I promise you, it really, really is, because this is how I got started. This is how this is still what I do to this day. So, I mean, it really, really is possible. And maybe you've heard about this whole concept. Maybe you haven't. But I'm going to introduce you to this world, this beautiful, awesome, wonderful world that I like to call no code, or that it is called no code. So what is this when I talk about this? Because you'll probably hear me reference this a lot throughout the show or throughout anything else, any other content you see me in. When we talk about no code, we're talking about software. We're talking about applications. We're talking about platforms, SaaS services that are basically built and configured and engineered using a quote-unquote no-code technology. Now, that does not mean that there isn't code involved in the platform. It doesn't mean that something's just built without using actual, coding languages like you would probably, know about Python, C#, all those different things, right? So it doesn't mean that, but what it does mean is that there's platforms out there that have been built that allow you to build something without having the need to code, hence the name no code. No code knowledge needed in order to build and produce something. So I'll take a couple examples that everyone knows about. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, take your pick, right? Any big platform that is out there. Now, all of these are built inside of custom coded environments, right? Those, you actually have people in there, right, with big old headphones on, sitting and rocking out to whatever kind of music they listen to, writing code, actually getting that, writing code in that language, whatever language that is it, that they're using, right? Now, people like you and me who run businesses, who, are in the marketing world, in the coaching world, in whatever world you're in, you probably don't know how to code. You probably didn't learn that skill. And if you didn't, don't feel bad. Like, it's not that common of a thing to know if you didn't go to school for it and you actually wanted to learn it and master it, right? Hence the creation of these no-code platforms, because you now have the ability to build things, even, and we're talking not even just apps and software platforms, but websites, right? A lot of you out there have probably used something like a ClickFunnels or at least a GoDaddy or a Wix builder, maybe even WordPress at some level, where you can drag and drop things onto it, right? It says, hey, add a heading element here, add a paragraph here, add a button here, right? And then you have the little configurable options. That's no code. That is what we're talking about with this, right? So, right, how does this work? Well, okay, we'll get to why it's important here in a second, but right, it has underlying platform code that it's built on. It's just the user interface, what you and I interact with, is there's no coding involved. If you can, I always tell this to my clients that I work with, it's if you can point and click a mouse and you can type on a keyboard, you can build your own stuff. Like it truly is, that is it's an oversimplification of it, to be honest. But if you can do those things and you have, you know, a pair of eyes to work with, you're fine. You can build these types of things that are useful, that you can bring into life, that you can model after. It really is that simple. Like, it does not need to be more complicated than that. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, it doesn't need to be. I mean, they're building more things and more capabilities, and they make it so it's almost so you need to know how to code and do different things. But it doesn't really need to be that way. There's so many things, and we get to why this is important here in a second. But that's really kind of how all this works. And when I talk about this, I'm not talking about any platform in specific. I'm not talking about any vendor specific. All of these are built this way. Whether you're talking, you know, again about like website builders, app builders, software builders, all these types of things, they all have an underlying platform that they are built on. And then there is a user interface, an actual, you know, usually a laptop application where you and I can interact. We can drag and drop, we can click and point, we can type stuff in, we can redesign things, shift things around, and there's no coding needed. That's in essence what we're talking about, right? So why is this relevant? Why is this a relevant topic? Why is this important for people like you and me, right? Well, again, I shared a little bit about my story kind of in the first episode, but if you didn't watch that one, you know, when I was starting into business, when I had an idea for an application that I wanted to build personally, this was back in 2016, 2017, I faced these exact problems. I did not know how to code. I tried learning it actually for a couple of weeks, and that went horribly, horribly not fun. To people who can learn that, more power to you. I'm not that person. It's a lot. I mean, there's other things out there that you can learn to code with. But you know, again, I didn't have the time or really the patience to be like, okay, this is going to take me a long time to learn. I don't have that kind of time or ability to do that, right? So that was kind of out of the question. So custom building my own thing was kind of out of the question, right? So then you turn to, well, what if I just paid someone to do it, right? So I started going down the route of, you know, looking up things like Fiverr and Upwork or different agencies out there. And obviously I had the idea in mind of like, hey, this is the platform I want to build. This is the application I want to build. Here's the idea. Here's the problems it solves, whatever. Great. Come to find out, they wanted like tons of money. I'm talking ridiculous amounts of money. I'm talking six figures more. I even had one quote come back at $250,000 to build a freaking app, like a simple, like relatively simple app. Yeah, it was running in health and fitness related, so it needed some GPS stuff and some geolocations and all this other stuff. But regardless, that was just crazy expensive, right? So I was left in this place of, okay, what do I do, right? Because I can't build it myself, or I don't know how to build it myself, and I don't have $250,000, or even at that time, I didn't even have $10,000 lying around to be able to do this, right? Thus brings the world of no code, right? Because one, you can do this by yourself. You as a person who uses a computer, who, you know, has an online business, who does things, is familiar with technology, you can build these types of systems and applications and software to be able to bring to life without having to know code, right? So that's a huge advantage, right? Because what does this allow you? It allows you to save time because you don't have to learn how to do that stuff, and allows you to save money because you don't have to pay someone $100,000 to custom build something from scratch, going through the whole design process, doing all this different stuff. That's big. That's a big deal, right? Because we've had people build custom dashboards, analytics stuffs, client portals. You can build entire SaaS marketplaces. You can just build a simple website if that's something that you want to build. There's all kinds of crazy, new, awesome things. Some of these things aren't even new that I'm talking about. It has democratized the field, and it's democratized this online business building phenomenon that we see, because I mean, truly, you can get started with something and get it stood up and running and launched very, very quickly. That's why I said, like, hey, by 2024, you could have the next big social media platform out there ready to go and start making money or start getting users. Like, that's truly possible. You know, people used to say, I remember there's a guy I used to follow, don't really follow him all that much anymore. You might have heard of him. His name's Russell Brunson, has a company called ClickFunnels I mentioned earlier. And he talks about, if you read some of his books and listen to his stuff, he talks about what it was like back in the 90s when they were first building businesses and doing all this stuff. Just to build a simple web page, they would have to go hire designers. They would have to go through designing stuff. They would send off their requirements. They'd get back something later. They would be like, okay, we want this. We want this change. We want this change, this change. They'd take it back. They'd wait again. They'd come back, repeat the cycle three or four times. They finally have it. Now they're $20,000, $30,000 in the hole for just getting this thing stood up. And now they don't even know if it's going to work. Like, they're already starting in the hole, right? It's just a crazy story. And it's kind of what I see a lot of people happen with their own software, with their own stuff, because that happens as well, right? You start to think, okay, you know, I want to get this thing built. I want to have it do this thing and be this way. But you haven't even thought through, like, okay, how am I going to monetize this? Is this actually solving a real problem for someone, like an actual real person that has told, or I've surveyed, or I've noticed, that has a real problem that this could be a real solution for, right? And then you're going back and forth with the design process and the changes and all this other stuff where you don't have to do that anymore. Like, you really, really don't have to do that anymore. That's what's crazy. So it saves you time, saves you money, and saves you headaches ultimately. So, okay. So again, let's talk about a little bit more why this entire conversation is relevant. So that was just a little bit of it. Let's go deeper. So again, we're in 2023, 2024 coming soon. Being first to market is a big, big deal. So I remember I was on a project recently where we had an application that we were trying to build. We kind of had some designs for it. They weren't super fleshed out. They were just kind of a lot of Canva slides, right? And long story short, it took us a long time as a team to agree, like, hey, we really want to do it this way, but we want to launch this way, but it has to do this and it has to be this. And there was just there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians, honestly. But it never really got off the ground. And then lo and behold, after about 2 years of working on this project, which is way too long, there was another application that launched in that space that did everything we were planning and more. Right. And boom, like, we lost that first to market advantage, that first, they call it the first mover advantage. Right. I mean, it's really, really interesting. You see this inside of things like Twitter, or now it's called X or whatever. Right. You see, you know, things like the new Threads app or like different things like that. When people are the first movers in that space, you have a huge advantage because it's a new opportunity. It's something that where it's not flooded yet. It's not like trying to get followers on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, because it's already a flooded market. It's already a flooded space. It's just watered down. It's not new. It's not novel anymore. So being the first mover in a space is really, really critical if you have a big idea, if you have, you know, something in your industry that you're trying to launch, because once something is created and is out there, that's usually the benchmark that people or businesses or whatever, you know, they use for measuring subsequent products, right? You think about Henry Ford being the first one to produce an automobile, right? Now, that was the first mover. If there was someone else who was a first mover and they were able to get that, they would have been replaced Henry Ford. You think about Thomas Edison, right? There was other people that were inventing this stuff, but he was the first to market with this. He became the one we remember. He became the one that was famous. I know there's all kinds of stories about, you know, conspiracy theories around that, which would be interesting to look into, honestly. But anyway, I digress. So being first to market is really, really important. Now, no code solutions can help you bring that to life, right? With the example I cited, we were building the product inside of a no code platform. Now, it really wasn't the issue, wasn't the software or the no code approach that came that had drawbacks in certain in other ways, but it was really more of a team being unable to agree and lead and produce things that really caused the issues. But for example, there was a new platform, which I'll probably talk about here on this show at some point. We're getting ready to roll it out. It just hasn't, it's been kind of on the back burner for a while. There was an entire platform I myself built, not for any client, not for anyone else, just for me, for a business idea that I have, using a no code tool and launched it inside of 30 days, right? I did end up taking it down. I wasn't ready to launch it, so it's not live or anything. I'll mention it later when I relaunch it. But inside of 30 days, I hatched the idea, validated the idea, kind of came up with some rough designs, built it, and had it ready to be publicly facing inside of 30 days. Now, I'm someone who obviously has been down this road. I've built a thing or two. I've, you know, built a lot of different apps for people. So I have the skills inside of this, inside of all these pieces of software. But it's something that you can, like, I had no idea how I was going to do it when I started. So it's still doable for people, right? It's still a feasible thing. And it's something that you could do too, right? So I mean, if you are thinking about that for 2024, it's not out of reach. Like, it truly can be done, right? It truly can be done. Okay. So first to market. The other thing, and we're going to talk more about this particular topic in next week's show. And it's going to be a whole show dedicated to this, but AI, right? So I'm going to try not to go super deep into it, because again, I have a whole topic, whole show dedicated to AI next week. But there is this AI gold rush. Like, the year of 2023 has been this AI gold rush. You probably remember when ChatGPT burst onto the scene, took the world by storm. Ever since then, if you've been paying attention at all, like I have, there are endless offshoots of software that's either based on ChatGPT. Look at, you know, Google rolled out their competitor Bard, I believe was what it's called. I've honestly never used it. Bing is starting to come out with some things like this. I mean, it's an incredible gold rush right now. It really, really is. And how does that relate to no code? Because there are starting to be platforms and applications built that come with no code that include AI. The AI can actually build a no code app for you, but you can also build in AI to no code, and you can be a first mover into that. So for example, there's a platform out there called Bubble. It's a very, very, very robust platform for building and launching no code applications. I use it. I'm an agency on there. But they had a lot of first movers into the space that created a no code application that had ChatGPT integrated into it that were really, really interesting. So for example, there was people that actually launched an application. I don't recall the name of it. You can find it as a template on there. That was all about marketing material, right? It was just, you put in your little inputs around, hey, here's my avatar, here's my audience, here's the kind of post I want to create. And then boom, it would spit out copy for you that was specifically marketing related. Like, it's specific to that. It's not just a general ChatGPT that you can just type anything into, right? That's incredible. There's another software that was out there. It's really, really interesting. It's called AI Staffs, which is really cool. And it has they built almost like 200 specific customer service bots based on ChatGPT and AI. So you can have a staff member that is your product manager, or that is your marketing manager, your social media manager, a therapist, you know, a developer. You can actually have conversations with these particular chatbots that's based on ChatGPT that are in a specific area of focus, right? First to market. That's an incredible, incredible product. It's actually something I could hook you up with if you so choose to. So message me if you want to. I might have a commercial for it eventually. there's a huge gold rush. We'll talk more about this kind of stuff later, but you know, with now being able to combine AI with with no code and vice versa, there's actually a tool that I'm developing, keep it on the down low, where you actually type in, you type in, hey, build me this app that does this, and then boom, AI creates the no code app for you. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be really, really, really cool. I've been trying a prototype of it myself, and it's I gotta say it's incredible. And then the other reason, reason number three, you know, why this is a relevant thing right now and this topic and why I choose to talk about it, right? Business is not just a local or national thing all the time. It's a global thing. Like it or not, then we can talk politics about this all you want, but we're in a global economy. We, you know, you have to compete against... you have to compete against people all over the world, right? There are, I take it from me as a developer, right? We're always competing against developers overseas, from Philippines, India, like all over the place. And your business is probably competing not only with local competitors, but Amazon, like bigger online chains over, you know, overseas types of companies, whatever the case might be, national conglomerates. So being able to reach customers in different areas of the world, different areas of the country, maybe just different areas of your state or your locality, can be brought to life using these types of things. And we're just even talking websites or anything like that too, you know, because you can't afford to just stay at your level unless, I mean, a lot of people want to have a small business and keep it that way, and that's perfectly fine. But if you want to, so a local business could start shipping overseas, you could start shipping out of state, you broaden your customer base so much faster and so much easier by using these tools that it allows you just a whole new revenue stream, a whole new way of operating, of you know, of selling and creating new things for your customer base and new customer bases, right? So that's a big deal, right? Like, so for me as example, you know, I can work with people all over the world. I don't have to work with people just in the US where I'm located. I have clients in the UK, you know, I have a client in Poland. Like, we have clients all over the place, right? So that's super exciting because of the reach of things, of these different platforms that are out there. You can choose to do those things if you so choose to, and create just a lot of different things for yourself and for your company. Okay, let's go to our sponsors real quick. So now you are probably a screen-bound entrepreneur, if I had to guess. Have you ever found yourself endlessly scrolling, hunting for the perfect tool for your online empire, only to end up with another cat video? Feast your eyes, my friend, feast your ears, possibly, on a product or a platform called AppSumo. I got to say, this stuff is like my crack. I love it. It is absolutely awesome. It is the digital marketplace where entrepreneurs and online marketers can find mouth-watering deals on software. And that's not hyperbole. It's kind of like a buffet, but without the risk of overeating, right? Because it's software. So from productivity tools to plugins to software to courses, you know, that make your website shine brighter than a disco ball, AppSumo's got the deals that make you and your wallet equally happy. So why waste another minute debating about which cat meme best represents your brand? Head over to appsumo.com. And hey, if you still want to watch cat videos afterwards, you know, at least your business will be thriving while you do so. So head over to AppSumo. Try not to spend too much money. It is awesome. I absolutely love that store. Okay, next order of business. So let's talk about, okay, this is all great in concept, Dan. This is all awesome stuff. Now, how does it applicable? Like, what are these types of tools that you talk about? You've talked about some of them, mentioned some of them. Actually, I skipped ahead. So there is, you know what? I'll stay with it. This is good. So there are a bunch of different ones. So when it comes to, I'm actually going to do a demo of one. That's what I wanted to skip into. So when you talk about what are the different types of things, you can go on Google and Google, what are the top no-code tools for my business or anything? There's tons and tons and tons of articles, okay? I'm going to give you some of my favorites and some that I think you should be implementing in your business or actually using. So the first one, I really like Webflow. That is a no-code website builder. It's a little more for advanced people. So if you've built some websites before using things like ClickFunnels or Wix, Webflow is really designed for designers. It's a way to create a lot prettier of websites, a lot different looking websites. And it's designed focused. Like, anyone can build you know, a blocky type of website using any kind of tool out there. Webflow is designed to make things look really, really pretty. So that's a really cool one to use for your business. Obviously, there are people forget about this, but there are email services which don't require any type of code to run, anything like that. One of the top ones out there I used to use, I actually no longer use because I've kind of transitioned my stuff, but MailChimp. MailChimp, you can't really beat MailChimp, especially if you're just starting in this game. They have so many cool tools. It's a very, very affordable tool, and it's simple to use. You don't have to learn all of these different nuances and different ways to code and different things to do. You can drag and drop and build emails really, really easily. Really, they look really nice. That is probably my top recommendation for that. There are other ones out there, obviously. Another tool that I recommend for people is Airtable. So Airtable, think of Airtable as an online Excel spreadsheet. It's like a Google sheet, but with way more stuff. It has way more cool things. It integrates with a lot of different things. There's actually a lot of no-code app builders that are, they use Airtable as a backend database, which is really interesting. You might click on some kind of links and emails like, hey, take this survey or fill in this questionnaire, and it'll go to, you might see a URL that says Airtable, right? Because you can actually manipulate data. You can, it's not sending people to a spreadsheet. It's sending people to a form that updates a spreadsheet. So it's a really cool dynamic way. There's actually a really cool, affordable course on Udemy if you would like. I forget exactly. I think it's like the ultimate code or the ultimate Airtable course or something like that. I remember I bought it and learned Airtable a long time ago. It was like $10. It was really awesome. Highly recommend Airtable for people. Some people don't like it because it's too simple. It's a lot like, it's kind of like the Apple Android debate. It's like very dumbed down, but that makes it really nice for some people as well too. This one is a really, really interesting one. And I couldn't live without it, honestly, for running my business, Zapier. So Zapier is a tool that they, if you look them up, they connect anything to anything, right? They'll connect any app to any app. So as you go through and you start to build things, maybe you have a CRM, maybe you have something like HubSpot or MailChimp or whatever. And then you start to have, maybe you have a course in Kajabi or Teachable or something like that. You start to realize very quickly that these platforms don't really talk to each other. Like, just because I have a list of people in MailChimp doesn't mean that those people will just show up in Kajabi, for example, for my course or something like that, right? Zapier is a tool that allows you to connect those two things. It allows those to talk to each other, okay? I remember the day like the time in my life when I discovered that something like Zapier existed, it blew my freaking mind, and it's never contracted since. Seriously, Zapier is, I think, probably other than my Launchpad software, I think it's the most indispensable tool that I have in my online business. Like, it truly is. Like, if I had to be without Zapier, I don't know, like, there would be a lot of stuff that would break. I have a lot of things linked up through Zapier, right? So for example, you can say, hey, when a new subscriber joins my MailChimp list, I want to add them as a contact in my HubSpot CRM or whatever the case might be, right? Because just because somebody is added over here doesn't mean they're going to be over here. But Zapier will connect those two, and it'll say, hey, hey, you got somebody over here, put them over here. It's oh my gosh, it's such a cool tool. You can use it for free for a little while and at a certain level. And after that, you have to upgrade and stuff. But it's truly, I love it. There's other alternatives out there. There's one called Pably, I believe. I've never tried it, can't really speak to it. And I believe there's another one called Make, M-A-K-E. So maybe look into those alternatives for yourself if that's something you're interested in. But I know Zapier connects with almost everything. When there's a new tool that comes out, you know, they will usually be in Zapier and able to connect to all these other things very, very quickly. It's crazy. So like, even we use Zapier in a lot of ways to say when people join your app or they sign up for your application, zap them into your HubSpot account or your Launchpad account or whatever it is, and then enroll them in marketing emails, right? So we can, you can do all those types of things with that too. So Zapier, I highly, highly, highly recommend. I don't think any online business should be without Zapier. And then another one I like to recommend to people is Jotform. Jotform is really, really interesting, and I might actually have something for them here. No, we had a commercial for them last time, I believe. So Jotform, and then there's another one called Typeform, which is relatively the same thing. They're, you know, Typeform, I think, is a little more professional looking than Jotform, but I've used Jotform forever and I absolutely love it. It's so cool. There's so many interesting things you can do as far as, you know, form capture, questionnaires. They have tons and tons of templates you can use. You can have then automated emails send out of that. You can take those Jot forms and then embed them on your websites or your social media pages or a Linktree bio or anything like that. And then you can, again, it connects with Zapier and you can do all kinds of different things inside of there. Jotform and Typeform are really, really, really cool tools. I know even Jotform recently has a, they upgraded their some of their capabilities to include, what's the word I'm looking for? Approvals. So you can actually go through, so we did this for one client where, you know, a user had to submit a request and that would go to their care provider, but then it actually had to be approved by the care provider. And then it would go back to, you know, another provider or something else that it was doing. But it actually had to go through approval processes. So you can do all that kind of stuff inside of Jotform if that is applicable for your business model, right? So that's another no-code tool that I really highly, highly recommend. People have used that a ton. I've used that for years. You know, have the upgraded, you know, versions of those, the paid versions of those. They're pretty indispensable for my business as well. Again, I don't use Typeform. I use Jotform, but I know Typeform is out there. It is a very, very useful professional service that a lot of people use as well. Okay, so one thing I did want to show, I'm going to share my screen. For those of you just listening on the podcast, I hope you'll be able to just hear this. But there is a really cool new product I wanted to show you guys. Again, as a no-code builder, this is really, really interesting. And it's a brand new platform out there called Hatch. And it is built by two people in the UK who are former software developers. And it's another website, no code building website builder that allows you to build really, really awesomely designed websites very, very quickly. So let me just show you the video here, and then we will talk about it afterwards.
Welcome to Hatch. Here is how to create and share the internet's most interactive digital experiences, all the magic of code, without writing a single line of it. On the left, you'll find all the things you can add to your sites. You can check out kits for curated content that help you start from scratch, or you could hit the homepage for templates and for the community showcase if you need some inspiration. To begin, the Element tab has prepackaged content that make your pages interactive and fun to play with. Just drag and drop content onto your page. You could add buttons or cool text. You could add effects that help make your content interactive. And what content you may be asking? You could add text buttons, upload photos, videos, search for massive libraries of photos, GIFs, stickers, vectors, videos, and even audio. Everything is customizable. Select the object you want to change and adjust properties or add effects on the right panel. You can preview it here. You can make anything a link like this. Choose your font or color here. Share your content with the world by copying your very own link here, or share it with the Hatch community to inspire someone else. You can even make it remixable. Your Hatch is yours. Make as many digital experiences as you want. Happy creating.
All right. Isn't that awesome? Like, isn't that so okay. So why did I show you that? And why is that irrelevant? Right. So again, that is just a very simple example of, you know, a new platform that's out there that has been created for people like you and me to allow us to get over this hump of like overthinking things, of being like, well, you know, I got to pay someone to do this, or I need to spend all this time coming up with my branding and my website stuff and doing all this stuff. As you saw in there, like they were dragging and dropping stuff. You can do videos, vectors, GIFs, stickers, scroll bars, all that kind of stuff, right? Like you can do all of these different things. And that is so important because you have to launch fast. You have to do things quickly. You have to make sure that you are the first to market, that you're a first mover, that you're an early adopter, that you're going out there and you're building these things and launching these things, right? That was one thing. You know, I don't know if I can attribute it to Russell Brunson or, you know, all the different people I've followed over the years. And one thing I've just learned being in my own business is, you know, the longer you sit on ideas, the more anxiety you feel. Like, I think one of the, that's who it was. It was a lady named Shanda Sumter. I remember she said something along the lines of, and I'm probably misquoting, but it was like, you know, the cure for anxiety in business is action. The cure for anxiety in business is action. That's not a direct quote. I probably am misquoting her, but it was something along that line. So you can quote me on that exact sentence. The cure for anxiety in business is action, right? We all have these ideas. We all have these things we want to bring to life. Even now for me, I'm thinking about that other platform I talked to you about. You know, it gives me anxiety thinking about, well, how am I going to launch this? When am I going to do this? It's like you're backed up and you just can't like, you're just like, oh, I can't make this decision. I can't just put it out there into something, right? And that relieves that tension, that relieves that anxiety. And I'm not someone who can talk, you know, at authority with any of those concepts, but it's a real thing. I've experienced it. I see it with my clients. I see it with people that do this. You know, they come to me and they have this idea they've had for years, or they've just come up with it or whatever, but they're just like, I can't get this launched. I can't get this into the world. I need you to help me do it, right? And that's what I hope people do. And the relief I see them feel, like even if it flops, like even if this idea they put out there just ends up being terrible and nobody wanted it or it just wasn't the greatest thing in the world. Okay. Like they still, there's no regret there. There's no like, well, that was stupid. I wish I didn't do that. It was like, well, you know, hey, you live and you learn. Maybe you pivot and you move on to something else. You take that product and you repackage it in a different way and you do something different. You know, that's part of this game. That's part of why it is, right? So check that out. Check Hatch out or check something out. You know, these new tools, and always be researching different things, and you'll probably find some really, really cool things. Okay, let's step away for another sponsored segment here. So again, hey, business pros, multitasking maestros, you know, are you buried under a pile of apps, software, digital doodads just to get you through your Monday? Have you spent too much time on AppSumo buying too many things? Guilty as charged. Have you ever fantasized about a world where one tool to rule them all? Yeah, I did too. That's why I brought you Launchpad. Now, it's not a space shuttle, sadly, but it's just as impressive for your business. This all-in-one tool manages, well, pretty much everything. There's no more playing app Jenga or software musical chairs. Now, I know what you're thinking. Does it also schedule my naps or predict the weather? Sadly, no. But with all the time you save on business tasks, you could become a pro napper or even a part-time meteorologist, honestly. So are you game for simplifying your business circus, your marketing circus, your technology circus, all of that? Head over to launchpadproject.net. With Launchpad, you won't just take steps forward, you'll rocket to the stars. Just remember to send us a postcard. Head over to launchpadproject.net. You can book a demo call, or you can get started for as little as $97 a month today. All right. So section number 5, we are talking about business considerations, okay? So why would someone consider... Why would you consider bringing something to life with no code? That's a very, very good question. Because there's actually some very interesting considerations you have to weigh when it comes to whether you're going to build something using a no-code technology or getting something custom built. Remember, I've talked about before, like, you know, hey, if you don't have the money, you don't have the time, go with a no-code solution. But again, it might be worth it for you to go with a custom solution if you need these certain things met, right? So the first thing I always tell my clients when I work with them, what level of customization are you looking to build with your platform, right? Or your tool that you're looking to build? By and large, this isn't, you know, across the board. Usually a no-code tool is going to have less customization available to you than a custom build, right? It's kind of simple, right? Using an analogy like a car, right? Like when you buy something off the line, it can have different things that you can change. You can do different windows, different wheels, different, you know, options, whatever. But if you build something from scratch from the bottom, you can make it whatever you want. Like there's unlimited types of customization in there, right? Now I will say with a lot of these platforms anymore, the no-code platforms, they are really coming a long way with regards to the actual customization that you are able to do. So that's not a huge drawback anymore. But if you really need something that's super customizable, just has to be very, 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 very intricate, a no-code solution might not be the best for you. So it's just something to just factor into your consideration. Another one that people talk about often is security, right? Like I need this application to be very secure. Maybe it's HIPAA compliance or there are PII concerns or anything like that, right? So by and large, you know, look at the software platform that you're going to be using and make a decision from there. But by and large, what I have found, there are not a lot of no-code builders out there that are actually HIPAA compliant. Sadly, they haven't really built in that capability yet. And I say yet because there might be some out there at this time that I'm just not aware of. There's new ones that come out all the time. But by and large, like if you need some kind of HIPAA compliance, you're probably going to have to go with a custom solution. But the other thing is like, you know, penetration testing. Is this app secure? Is this going to be hacked? Is this going to be taken down at some point, right? And that's actually a concern that you can kind of put to rest because a lot of these platforms that are out there, the bigger ones at least, the more reputable ones, they actually are required to undergo, you know, penetration testing and security testing and updates and patches all the time to keep all of the applications that are hosted on their platform secure, right? Not only their own platform secure, but their other ones, right? So like security in that type of regard is not the biggest, you know, always the biggest concern. I will share a little horror story with you. So when I first started my business, I was using a different platform that I'm using right now. And we had a few clients come in and we were building their applications. And about a month into this brand new venture, everything went down one day. Just everything just stopped working. Couldn't tell you what was going on. Long story short, there was a massive fire in a warehouse at an Amazon, you know, data center warehouse in like Europe somewhere. And it just wiped out all the servers, wiped out all the software, wiped out everything we had done, right? There was no backups. There was nothing. So luckily we were able to restart and redo those things. But it just goes to show you, like sometimes you can put in all the digital security that you want and you can still be screwed. Like it's just a little horror story. I forgot that kind of brings back some PTSD. Just kidding. Moving on. So another concern that I hear people talk about a lot with no code solutions. Hey, is this app scalable? Am I able to scale as high as I want with this? Or am I limited in some way? It's a very good question. So by and large, I mean, any kind of application is going to be limited in terms of scalability. Now you have apps like TikTok, ChatGPT, Facebook, Google, those types of things, which are used by almost everyone that has a device, right? So, but how do they function with those being fast and actually working and coming in with the right data and all that stuff? When you get to that level, you don't really have to worry about that kind of stuff. Obviously, I mean, you have to worry about it, but it's not really like the topic of conversation when you're launching. It's a completely different conversation. That is why I really like the no-code solutions when you start out and to stay on over time, because one, you can launch quickly and you can get out there and start doing things and start getting customers, start getting money, getting revenue. There's a ton of companies out there that have raised money using no code solutions, which is really crazy, really awesome. But then how do you know, like, hey, if I get 30,000 new users in one day, can this handle that? It's a good question. You know, look into the platform. I've never heard of a lot of issues with, you know, numbers like that. They say, I mean, again, it depends on how involved your application is, how heavy inside of pulling data from a database it is. If it's all, you know, it's obviously all going to be inside the cloud. It's going to be accessible to everyone everywhere. And, you know, load testing is definitely something that, you know, a lot of these platforms have to do. But I've heard, you know, hey, if I have 1 million users in my no code app, is it going to support itself? Well, just because you have 1 million users in your app, like signed up, doesn't mean that all of them are going to be using it all at once, all the time. Right. It's just not feasible and not logical for that to happen. So yes, you can scale. To answer questions, yes, you can scale with no-code apps. You can scale very quickly and very high. Now, some people will go that route where, hey, we're going to build this in no-code. We're going to do it this way. And then eventually we're going to move to a separate platform. I know a very good friend of mine that built one of the biggest podcasting networks out there, or applications out there, and started it, building it on a no-code type of platform, and eventually turned it over and rebuilt it inside of their own custom platform, because they just got to the point where that was actually slowing them down. Like, they had so much. That's really when you know, like, hey, we need to transition. We need to do these different things. But honestly, that's a more rare thing than you would really think. I think a lot of people kind of build their applications simple enough to where that doesn't really become a problem. And if you become successful enough to where that is a problem, that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have, right? Another thing to consider when it comes to business considerations with a no-code solution is the learning curve, right? So this is a new software. This is a new thing. It's a new way of doing things. You know, you probably saw that video of the new Hatch thing, right? I've actually never used that. I've never signed up for it. I just found their site and wanted to show you their YouTube video. But there is a learning curve, even for me. If I jumped in there and it's a new software, I've never used it before, it's something I've never done, you know, obviously that would take me a little while to figure out, like, what do I need to click on? How do I actually do this particular thing? I want to have this type of element. How do I resize things? How do I make it look good? You know, I'm probably going to get stuck somewhere. You see this with any person inside of any software when it comes to pretty much anything, right? There's always going to be a learning curve, but I promise you the learning curve is a lot less trying to learn those platforms than trying to learn a coding language. Okay. Been down that road. Maybe you've been down that road. It is a lower learning curve. I hate to say a guarantee because I don't give guarantees, but I damn near guarantee that it's a lower learning curve. Like, it's just going to be easier to play with a software that's right in front of you that you can point, you can click, you can do different things instead of going in and having to learn code. It's like learning a new language, right? So yes, there is learning curves to this. But I will say, even for me, like, as someone that never came from, never studied, never did any kind of, you know, any of this stuff, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And once you learn one, you've kind of learned the rest, right? Like, it really, you can kind of transfer those skills. Another one, as I'm getting down to the end here, is vendor lock-in, right? That kind of goes along with the scalability piece. But if I build my app inside of Bubble or inside of Adalo or inside of this one platform, am I locked into that forever? And I would say no. Like, my first app, I probably built in 20 different platforms before I found the one that I wanted it, right? Because it just did the things that I wanted it to do. Now, once you get into the one that you want, I recommend you get pretty comfortable with it, because yes, vendor lock-in is a real thing, and you can start with the subscription. You can get kind of tied into that particular platform, but you can always change it. You can always rebuild it. There's a lot of apps we've done with people where we actually built that in an old software and then we rebuilt it in another software. There's another, there's a guest I'll bring on here in a couple episodes where we did that with her. She had it in an old platform. We rebuilt it in a new platform. So it was a kind of a pain in the butt to get it transferred, but you're not locked in absolutely forever. You can repopulate, redo things. So it's not the end of the world if you do that. So that's a good thing as well. Okay. So I did want to cover the last thing. I had a couple more things there, but I did want to talk about inside of this thing here, the importance of an MVP. Okay. But before I do that, let me talk about my last sponsor here, Wake Up Warrior. So I'm a man. If you're a man listening, So if you are a man watching this show, I'm a man, obviously. If you are a father, a husband, you know, whatever roles that you have in your life, we all wear, you know, these titles, businessman, father, son, uncle, whatever, as badges of honor. Yet behind those suits and smiles, you know, many of us grapple with a silent struggle, balancing work, family, our well-being, our mental health, our marriages, right? Does success in the boardroom mean sacrifices at home? I don't believe that it should. So allow me to introduce you to a program that I've personally used in the past. I can recommend with the highest level of confidence. It's called Wake Up Warrior. It is a transformative coaching program specifically tailored for married businessmen with children like you and me. It's more than just guidance. It's a call to action. It's a beckoning to reclaim and harmonize all facets of our lives. True success isn't just measured by your business accolades, but it's measured by the strength of the relationships that you cherish, the memories you create, and the legacy you leave. So this is the time that you became the warrior your family needs and the leader in your business deserves. Dive deep, confront the challenges you face within yourself, and emerge not just successful, but whole and healed. Visit wakeupwarrior.com or click the link below in the description to start your journey. Okay, now last section as we're finishing up here, MVP stuff, minimum viable product. No-code allows you to have this basic minimum viable product, which allows you to be first to market. What is a minimum viable product? It is the minimum product that you can launch out there that is feasible for your customer to use, for your avatar, for your person, the user of your app to use and get results with, right? When Facebook started, when TikTok started, when any app is started, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, right? It might not have all the different features that you wish that it had, but it will have a way for the problem that they have to be solved, right? And it gives you the flexibility to be able to launch things fast and solve that problem in a very, very fast way. But it also allows you to validate. It allows you to go out there and say, hey, we have this solution that you know, to this problem. Would you use this product? Would you pay us for this product? Would you actually use this on a regular basis? People are going to say yes or no. Like, then you can stop dwelling on the things like I talked about before, and you can actually move on to a different idea that might work or change the idea that you have, right? And then again, it also gives you just incredible agility to say, okay, we put this product together, we put this out there, didn't get quite, you know, this response, but hey, maybe it got a good response, but this feature that we thought was that people were really, really going to love, they didn't love at all. Like, they didn't even use it, right? That's a very, very interesting thing to have, because with all of this, it all can be data driven. It all can be visible. You know, you can have visibility into the analytics of things, into the behaviors of people, into, you know, when I put this thing out there in front of these people, it did well, but in front of these people, it didn't. What did I learn from that? How can I improve that? How can I make that better? It's a really, really interesting way. And this is, again, where I really, you know, a lot of people I work with too, where we are launching MVPs. We are launching, using no code to launch that first version of the product they're trying to create. We get it out there. We get it in the hands of people. We get feedback then, and they say, hey, I wish it did this. I wish it did that. I don't really like this part, but I really like this part. And you can go and you can get rid of the things that don't work. You can double down on the things that do. And you can create a really, really robust, awesome product that people love and that helps them move forward, helps them get results in whatever they're trying to do, helps them get results in their business or move forward in those regards, right? So that's a really powerful thing. You almost start to get addicted to this game of launching, of getting feedback and then tweaking and then relaunching. It's a really, really addictive thing. But, you know, using some kind of no-code tool allows you to put together that minimum viable product, be flexible with it, be agile with it, and actually validate whatever you're trying to do in terms of that, right? So that is my last little quick snippet of the thing. I forgot to put the other banner up here. There we go. I'm still getting used to the show. So that is all. I really appreciate all of you joining the show, whether you're watching it on YouTube, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, maybe you're listening to this as a podcast. Just in closing remarks here, wherever you're watching the show, I would really appreciate a comment, you know, a share, a review, anything that gets the show out there. Any recommendations, if you know anyone that would love this show, please send it their way. And that is always appreciated. So I'll see you guys next time. We're going to talk about AI. I'll see you there.